Katie Kempner, and welcome to Perspectives, which is a series of inspiring conversations with remarkable working women. And I am certainly talking with a remarkable working woman today, my friend Talia Bender-Small, president of the Female Quotient. Talia, welcome.
Katie, thank you so much. It's so nice to be here with you. And you've been just such an amazing friend and supporter and champion of ours from the early days. So thank you for having me.
I am so impressed with everything that you do, that the Female Quotient does. And I think, well, I mean, everybody knows your organization, but for the few people maybe that don't, can we just start by talking a little bit about the Female Quotient and the work that you do to advance equality in the workplace?
Yes, thank you. So our company is called the Female Quotient. We're an experiential media and transformation advisory company that advances gender equality in the workplace. That's what we live and breathe every day. And in the early days, we coined the phrase that we were in the business of equality because this is a business imperative. And we've, over the years, created the largest community of professional women and all over the world across over 30 industries. And we're doing a lot of incredible work that I think we can get into a bit. And we're so grateful to have been able to be doing this work for so many years.
Well, it's 10 years, right? Is it 10 years?
We're going into our 10th year.
Amazing. Well, let's talk about some of the programs that the FQ is focused on right now. Wait, do you call yourself the FQ? Have I just
come up with yes. We call ourselves the FQ. So it's a very exciting time for the FQ. I know I was just sharing that it takes over 8 years to build a brand. I feel like we've really gotten to this place and we've built such a big presence digitally and in person. And there's a few things that we've been working on that we're really excited about. One that is a very big new effort is with the growth of our audience on social. This time last year, we had 1.5 million followers on social. And today we have 5.5 million and counting, and all organic. And we've really just hit a stride there. And we're really starting to build what we believe is like a new era for media, doing a lot of digital and social first content, and really using our platform to tell the remarkable stories of women and give visibility to women in leadership and create space for taboo conversations. Like, we really want to be that space. So we're very excited about the media business and lots more to come there, and grateful to the brands that are already working with us on some of that kind of dedicated work. We also just had a very big partnership announcement with Formula One Academy. And for those who don't know, Formula One Academy is the women who race alongside Formula One races. They race all over the world. It's incredible. We went to the Zandvoort race in the Amsterdam area for the launch, where Formula One Academy created a rose gold FQ car that was really amazing. And, you know, it's remarkable. The effort is really around ensuring that women are at the forefront of Formula One, both as drivers, but also in the business of Formula One. So we've launched a partnership together where we're bringing the Equality Lounge to their races all around the world. We have an event in Singapore today, and we're off to Abu Dhabi and Qatar, and we'll be at Las Vegas Formula One 2 this year, and then many more ahead. So that's another big partnership we're very excited about, and lots more in the works. And, you know, there's been a lot of brands that have been involved with us for many years. And then now we're definitely have a new wave of the companies and the initiatives that are kind of starting to come our way and have us participate in, which is very, very exciting.
So you mentioned the Equality Lounges, and, you know, these are a series of lounges that are at conferences and events around the world. Shelley has been on our show before several times, and she's told this terrific story about how they came to be at CES initially. But for those who don't know, could you share maybe just a tiny little bit about how they started, but also where they are now?
Yeah, thank you so much. So for those of you who haven't been to an Equality Lounge, we invite you to one, both in person. We also stream digitally on our LinkedIn, and they're very, very inclusive. So everyone is welcome. Shelley, and I was fortunate enough to already be working with her at the time, decided to go to the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, years ago. At the time, under 5% of the attendees were women. So she decided to take a hotel suite and invite some of the women that she knew were going to be on the ground to the hotel and ask those women to invite their girlfriends. And we gathered with a group of women. And that's where Shelley really coined the phrase power of the pack. And instead of being a lonely and only at CES with so few women, we really had this incredible group of women and walking the show floor together. And it was remarkable just to gather women in a space like that. So fast forward, we've been doing this concept now for several years. We bring the Equality Lounge everywhere across key corporate moments to key cultural moments. So everywhere from Formula One to the Olympics and to Cannes Lions, Davos, and CES, and more. We're hosting many of these a year, multiple a week. I just returned from Vegas, where we hosted one yesterday at Workday Rising with Deloitte. So we're doing these across major events. The concept is to create a space where what we call conscious leaders come together to connect and have conversation and really create a space where real relationships are made. So when you go back at the conference or to events, you have great friends and have the real conversations that need to be had. So that's the space that we create. And again, hope you all can join us at one of them coming up soon.
So it's amazing how some of the issues in these conversations that you know about women in the workplace have changed, and so many have not changed. What are some of the key issues that are being discussed now in your lounges?
Yeah, it is really interesting. The good news is a lot of these conversations are so much more, you know, what I consider mainstream, which is exciting, but we're not seeing the numbers change as fast as we would like, unfortunately. What's been really interesting for us, of course, we cover a whole wide range of topics and we're over 30 industries. So it's really, really interesting. We're doing a lot around women, ensuring women are at the forefront of cybersecurity, for instance. We're doing a lot of work around women and AI. And we have a concept called Algorithm for Equality and making sure, again, that women are at the forefront of AI, and some big announcements around that coming up soon. And really what we're having a lot of fun with and where we get a lot of good traction is having taboo conversations and taboo topics and using our platform for that. So a lot around menopause, big topic that we've taken on and a really important one. We just posted about new research sharing that the brain gets remodeled during pregnancy and pregnancy transforms a mom's brain. So, and the comments and the engagement around that is so interesting because we're really the place where we're having these conversations. So we continue to really push forward on the conversations that we think are super important to be had in the workplace.
I love hearing all that about pregnancy, about menopause, especially menopause, where that's something that's been taboo for so long. And yet, especially with women working longer and being healthier, this is a big thing for many women. So it's important to talk about these issues. But let me ask you a question. Some of these other issues about equal pay and, you know, pregnancy in terms of motherhood, I even have a question that I'm going to ask you in a bit where when I was writing it up, I was like, I'm almost embarrassed to ask this question because you wouldn't ask a man. And yet still in all, as a mother, there are so many things around working as a mother that come up. So why are some of these issues that working women are facing not being solved more quickly?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And we're working a lot with leaders right now. So as Shelley would say, we need everyone to be more conscious of their unconscious. And we're really trying to break it down and share. It's not that difficult. It just takes choice and really prioritizing creating equality. And we've created a concept called the flipping point, where we're kind of breaking down the areas that allow for equality. And it really is having the consciousness to prioritize and implement these changes. And one of the things we've also really started talking about is with all of the priorities that companies have, gender equality is actually one that leaders can change in their lifetime if they make that choice. Unlike maybe, you know, climate change, all these other issues, which are so important, but this is one that leaders can really change. So we're really working with leaders to ensure that they are conscious and trying to create the new wave. A few other things that are just unfortunately the reality: childcare costs continue to skyrocket, which continues to force women out of the workforce, which is very unfortunate. And, you know, we're always having those conversations. The other conversation we're having a lot around is the flexible workforce and what that looks like. And that's a very hot, heated topic. And there's not really a perfect solution. We actually very much believe in in-person work because teams need to feel connected and live and breathe together. And even just as I reflect coming up, I learned so much in the in-between meeting time and the spending time in person, but also having flexibility so that we can take care of our children, and so that we have, you know, all the childcare of all the caregiving issues, taking care of your elders and everything that women often take on. So these are a lot of the conversations that we're having, and it is up to leaders to make the decision to try to move this forward in their organizations. We shouldn't be sitting and waiting and watching for the government or a higher being to be solving these challenges.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So now let's turn a little bit and talk about you, because I have watched your career, which has been incredible, and just so impressed with the way that you've developed and grown and the larger and larger responsibilities you've taken on. So you've been with this Female Quotient since its inception for over 10 years. You've played a key role as it's grown, and you've been able to grow with it, which is not always that easy. A lot of times if someone goes to an organization and it's small and they grow, and this also is to testament to Shelley, but, you know, all of a sudden larger leaders come in, people with larger as in with more experience, but you've been able to grow with it. Can you talk about that a little bit and maybe some of the qualities that you've brought to the table? I know you're a very humble person, but some of the qualities you've brought that has helped you along with that?
Yeah, thank you so much. And very grateful to have been on this journey with Shelley for so long. Listen, I mean, first of all, kudos, of course, to Shelley, because she really took me under her wing since I was with her. I started with her as an intern many years ago, and it was supposed to be a 2-month summer internship. And my third week there, she asked me to go to Spain with her. I had to call my mom and be like, "Mom, I'm going to Spain. Is that okay?" I was so young. And then, of course, when the summer was over, I continued and stayed working with Shelley. So Shelley really took me under her wing from day one. Very grateful for that. You know, I think a few things. You know, I think, first of all, a lot of young people maybe aren't patient. I spent a lot of time really learning and absorbing and raising my hand for everything. I'm such a big believer in that. Maybe not when you're farther down in your career, but in the early stages of like raising your hand for anything and everything, because you really get into the rooms you never maybe would have gone into. That's how you broaden your network. You meet people that you would have not met otherwise. And you learn what you're really good at. And also, most important, you learn what you're not so good at. You can really hone in on the skills and where you really shine. Shelley never kind of handed me a key and said, "Okay, you're going to work on the brand partnership." I just kind of raised my hand for everything. And that's really where I started to shine. I also started our social accounts, and I was not so good at that. So thank goodness we brought on our incredible social team that we have today. So I think it's so important, especially for young people, to be really, really open-minded. Like, you have to come into the workplace open-minded and kind of get in there and work on things. So that's one thing I would say. I think, you know, of course, I feel grateful for my genes, I guess, because inherently in me, I'm a very, very ambitious and hardworking person. I don't really know how not to be. So it's definitely in my blood and in my family's blood and just kind of who I am as a person. I think, you know, of course, we talk a lot about things like work-life balance, which we don't even really believe in. But I also, there's something to be said about just working hard. And I don't know if we talk about that enough. And especially today, maybe, especially with AI and everything. I'm a big believer in AI tools. I use them daily. But so much, I think, about growth and rapid growth and continuing to kind of get to that next level, along with a lot of things like having the right relationships and people believing in you and luck, but is like really working very hard and being persistent and ambitious. And I just always knew I was always just trying to improve my skill set, try to create a new relationship, try to build a new partnership. So very much inherent in me. And to Shelley's credit too, like we're definitely very much yin and yang. And I think that's also another maybe good lesson is, especially again, when entering the workplace, is when you want to carve your own space, is make sure that you prioritize your leader. I always, and still to this day, prioritize Shelley and Shelley's visibility and where she kind of was showing up and kind of complimented that. So I was never seen as a threat in any way. I was always complimenting around her, which I think created a very positive dynamic for us and allowed us really ultimately to have each of our areas of focus and where we really can keep building together.
I think you touch on a bunch of things that are terrific points, but one of the things is about, you know, working with Shelley, because Shelley is a force. She's amazing. She is, you know, you're in a founder-led organization and she is a very strong personality. She's incredibly smart, incredibly successful, but it's not always easy for other people to work with someone who has such a big personality, who's a strong founder. Now it's different in her case because she's a girl's girl. And that's what your entire business is built upon. But do you have advice for women who work with other strong women, how they can support them while not getting lost in the other person's personality, which I think is something you've been very good at?
Thank you. I mean, listen, again, it goes to Shelley's credit, and she's always been very inclusive and complimentary of her. So I give her all the credit in the world for that. And I'm so grateful for that. I think it is to kind of the point I was just saying. First of all, I think you really have to put your time in. People can't expect things right away. We're so impatient. I'm one of the most impatient people in the world, but I was not impatient from this perspective. And I think first off, people have to put your time in and spend the time learning the business. Like when you're a founder, and I was along the journey with her since inception, so I know everything inside and out. But when you're a founder and you're joining a founder, you don't know everything. You don't know the hardships at the beginning. We made up the business. Like founders are making things up. So you can't come in, whether you're entry level or mid level or even senior level, and know kind of how everything was created. One of the things we talk a lot about, one of my favorite things that Shelley says actually, is we have to be the first, second, and the third. The first really knows how everything was created, how it was made, the puzzle pieces. The second kind of copies the first and doesn't really know the inside pieces. And then the third kind of comes in and is the sweeper and takes kind of the learnings from the first and the second. And we always say we have to be the first, second, and the third because no one's ever gonna sweep us. But it is so true with founder-led organizations. So I think you have to be really mindful, and also mindful that even as companies grow and founders, when founders are still there and their role evolves quite a bit because they're used to being involved in the weeds and the copy and all the details and creating space for that because they still want to feel like they have their imprint on it. And even if they're not maybe as needed in some areas, and really finding the balance of where they can still have their imprint, but having the business scale and grow and everything. So I think that's super important. The other thing I would just say, again, to kind of, I was saying this earlier, is especially maybe with women working with other women, is making it very, very clear that you want to be complementary and additive and not take away and not fight for the limelight. Like, there is room for all of us. Like, we genuinely believe that. It's not an and or or. It's not an or. And it is carving out, as someone that comes into a founder-led organization, you're not a founder, but what you can be is an amazing operator, amazing business builder, someone who takes really big thinking and turns that into reality. Like, that was where I kind of was complimentary to Shelly, especially in the early days, is she had these amazing big ideas and I could take them and make them real. So I think that's just such a huge part, is like, find your area where you can really own and shine and make that yours.
That's really good advice. So now, talking about balance, and you said you don't like work like life balance. And here's the question that I said I was almost embarrassed to ask, but you know, since I've known you, you got married, you had a son and daughter. You know, we hear how busy you are. You said you were in Las Vegas yesterday. I know you go all over. That comes with a lot of time away from home. And I know from when my kids were growing up, I have a son and daughter too. They're grown now. It was very hard. It was hard emotionally for me. Many times I missed things. It was also hard for me logistically. I was very lucky I had a nanny. But, you know, you still have to figure out who's going where, when. How do you handle all of that, both from a logistics perspective and also from an emotional perspective? And also, I want to caveat saying this. People wouldn't ask a man that, but you're not a man and you're a loving mom. And so I'm asking.
Yeah, no, it's an important question. And by the way, we should do a series asking the men that. And we have some amazing... We have some amazing men in our world, and we actually should ask Jason Schulweis, our chief commercial officer, who's an amazing dad, this question. So we should do that, Katie, which would be such a fun follow-up and series in one of the Equality Lounges. So I love that. Listen, I think one of the things I wish that, and as I was growing up in this business, of course, heard so many moms and parents and caregivers speak on our stages. So I was fortunate to kind of have that wisdom. But what I wish more of them started with was just how hard it is. Like, I don't know if we talk about that as much. And of course, now I have so many friends in the industry and we talk about these things and we're all going through the same. And I think the bottom line is it's hard. It's very hard, but it is possible. And it is, and I'm like, I would be such a bad mom, wife, friend, if I didn't work and have this in my life. So it is possible. And whenever many women, of course, have these conversations with me because of what we do. And when women are contemplating dropping out or career shifting or going part-time, I'm like, just push through, because I have heard enough women on our stages talk about the challenges they had, but every single one of them will tell you that they are so grateful that they stuck through, because their kids are grown. They have this big career now. And that's really when many of them got their big jobs, was at that stage of their life. And they will all tell you, they're so grateful they stuck through. And it's hard. And there's different parts of the journey too. Like, when my kids happen to be very young, I know it's a very, very difficult time. My mom also reminds me, they're not babies forever. And obviously, when they're different ages, there's different challenges that come. But so that's just one thing I would first say. I also think, of course, I mean, this is without saying, like, I'm very lucky to have a very supportive husband. And I think having a supportive partner in this is so important. I really feel so much for single parents, and the way that they do it is unbelievable. And I think having that support system is just so important. So of course, I have an amazing support system. You cannot do it without one. And the other thing too that I would say is, especially in today's world when we're post-pandemic and there's so many in-person events and so many exciting things to be at. And I love being in person. I spend a lot of time in person at events and traveling and in meetings, and I'm a very big believer in it. But I think it's equally important to really weigh the must-haves and the maybe I can do this in a few years. And I really, really am very intentional about my travel. I'm very strategic about my schedule. I was in Vegas yesterday for an event, and I could have been there for 2 full days, or I went for 4 hours. So I'm very, very strategic about it. So I can do fast trips. I'll go across the country for 1 or 2 days. And yes, it's tiring, but I would rather not lose the time with my family and the kids. So I think that's really, it's important to go to the must-haves and not the nice-to-haves. And I know this maybe sounds simple, but a nice reminder that the in-person opportunities will be there. The cans will always happen. The CES is going to happen. And if it's the year when it's can overlaps with graduations, like you'll be at the next one. My wedding was the week after can 1 year. And I fully thought I was going until my family had an intervention with me sharing the reality that I was not going. Of course, that was very devastating to me at the time, but it was okay. I went the next year and the next year and the next year. So maybe that's very basic, but I think is an important reminder and also a good opportunity to maybe share opportunities around with your team and those around you. I will say a lot of our team has had exposure because of things I don't go to or someone another lead on our team doesn't go to. And I actually think that's amazing because exposing the team to more, that's how they learn more and can pick up more things and build their own relationship.
There's like 5 pieces of fantastic advice in that. So thank you. That's all really, really important to remember. So thank you for that. And in that same vein, just to end, is there one piece of advice that has really helped you in your life and your career that you can please share with us?
Thank you, Katie. I'd say 2 things. One is, and I very much get this from Shelley's an amazing relationship builder too, but also from my family and just very inherent, is to be just really a good relationship builder. It's not about networking and trading business cards. I mean, our partners and my relationships are true friendships. I know when their kids are getting married and graduating, and when there's unfortunate deaths in the family, and when good things happen, when bad things happen, like I'm their real friend through the thick and thin, and when they're in the big job and not in the big job. And it is more important than anything to build real relationships and not transactional. And that's what women so bring to the table. So that's one just really important piece of advice I'd share. And the other is, I am definitely completely obsessed with the concept of resourcefulness and being solution oriented. I spend all day solving problems. Like there isn't a problem I don't want to solve and I can't solve. And I think that mindset is really, really a key to just success in the workplace overall, and especially in today's hybrid remote world where it's easy maybe to ask the question when you can really figure it out, or when there's a problem that seems really big and maybe it's not that complicated. And your leaders will also appreciate when you come to the table with solutions. So I very much am a big believer in resourcefulness. And I wish I could unpack one of my goals is to unpack that more. So maybe Katie, you'll help me with that, because I want to create like the toolkit for resourcefulness, because I think that's actually one of the reasons I've been able to succeed very much so.
Well, I agree with you, and you certainly are doing that. And here's to everything you've accomplished and everything you will accomplish. Talia, it's been a real pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Katie, so much for having me on. Great to see you.